I'm Alec Baldwin. Listen to my podcast, Here's the Thing, on iHeartRadio. It's my chance to talk with artists, policymakers, and performers.
I always like to say I like being an actress, but I love being Kristen. So I've prioritized that a little bit more than my, like, desire to spread my wings or prove to people that I can be some dramatic actress.
If you like listening as much as I like talking with interesting people, go to heresthething.org and subscribe now on the iHeart app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Serious Rap Shit is a production of iHeartRadio.
Me and my friend take this rap shit seriously.
Boom. Back in effect. Episode 125?
Yes, 125.
Episode 125, Serious Rap Shit Podcast. I'm John, your host.
I'm Josh, your host.
And yeah, we back here rocking. How you been, Josh?
I'm good, man. Yeah. I'm good. I'm living, you know what I mean? Nice. It's been nice all week, too.
Ooh, it's a beautiful day today in Philadelphia. Still terrifying.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we're going to get bombed with snow eventually. Like, there is going to be, like, a snow bomb that hits us eventually.
I've been thinking about that. Because Liz brought it up yesterday, I want to say. Like, she was like, yeah, you know, we ain't had no real significant snow. And I'm like, yo, what if, like, in April, people are, like, shoveling their cars out in Philly and all over the East Coast?
They said the Philadelphia airport didn't report snow for the whole month of February for the first time in its existence.
Yeah. That's so nutty.
Be since, like, at least like the 60s, I guess. Like,
right. What the fuck?
Yeah.
I noticed it's been like alternating warm days and rainy days here. It's been like so much rain. I don't know if that's, I mean, it is environmental, but I don't know if that's like a climate change thing or what. But yeah, it's weird. It's
March
almost.
March showers bring April flowers, huh?
You said what?
March showers bring April flowers.
Yo, it's just, it's been weird. You know, like we said before, we talked on a previous episode. I was like, yo, I appreciate that it's warm and it's nice as shit. Tonight, you know, when you leave after we're done this podcast, I might, like, we're in South Philly, so I might sit outside in a tank top on the step and drink a beer and yell at Liz. You know what I mean? Just be like,
with like a little spaghetti stain on your jumper.
I didn't want to make it epic. I didn't want to make this shit ethnic, but you know, if you say so, a little marinara, you know what I mean? On the motherfucking
tank
top.
I guess whatever.
Yeah, the sauce on there. You know what I mean? Make it real South Philly like, but it's equally, you know, oh, this is cool. It's warm and it's nice. But it's also like, what the fuck are we doing?
Yeah.
We gotta elect Bernie Sanders, dog, and get this the Green New Deal popping.
Yes, sir, dog.
It's crazy. I don't know.
It's crazy. Like I said, man, I'm not like, at least this is a month that's not supposed to be like freezing cold.
Right.
You know
what
I mean? So, but still, I don't think it's supposed to be like in the 60s yet.
No.
So, but I'll take it, man. You know, world's on fire.
Yeah. We might have to like, you know, like really sell out. We jokingly were like, oh, yeah, let's sell out. Yeah, get a bag. We might have to like sell out and buy one of them cribs like the Jetsons used to have.
Yeah, it's high up in the air.
You know, the elevated joints above the clouds. I don't know. Have like a robot maid named Rosie.
Yeah.
We might have to do that, yo. Just to like
the door opens and like your fucking, the ramp shoots out like a spacecraft.
Yeah.
So you can go down, you get down on a regular sidewalk.
Right.
I have to, dog.
Yeah, yo. This shit is like, it's terrifying.
Yeah.
I don't want no climate change. I don't want Skynet activated. None of that shit. Just give us like a regular, we had like such regular lives. You know what I mean? Like the '90s. I don't know if it's because we were like children. Like niggas was getting shot and shit.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But like, you know, we didn't think like the environment was collapsing before our eyes.
One of the worst parts about climate change is it extends the summer so long, just extends shooting time so much longer. Yeah.
Dog.
You used to be able to like, you know, the shootings wasn't crazy until like May.
You could avoid niggas for like a strong 4 to 5 months.
Yeah.
Now half of the year is summer.
Exactly.
People getting clapped for half a year.
Yeah,
dog.
Man.
I hope I'm like very wrong. And like all joking aside, there's been a lot of violence, you know, just this winter. And in the fall as well. I have a feeling this summer is going to be fucking buck wild.
Yeah, I think so.
I feel it like in the air.
Yeah.
That the summer is going to be fucking crazy. I'm staying out the way, dog.
Yeah,
we finna do this podcast. You know what I'm saying? Work on this other shit that we got going on behind the curtain, and that's going to be it, nigga. Don't invite me to none of y'all functions.
I'm fixing to be high every night.
With the edible,
yeah, watching TV, dog. I'm not trying to be in a mix really at all this summer, dog.
I wish they would bring Donald Glover. Whoever's listening, who's connected with Donald Glover, tell him to bring back Atlanta early.
I think it's supposed to come out soon because they said we're getting two seasons this year.
Yeah, but I also saw something that said 2021.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah, niggas, they gotta push that up.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. Drop it early. So that we can be in the crib and not out here shooting each other.
Yeah, matter of fact, that's what maybe it's two seasons since 2021. Yeah, man, we need something, dog.
Yeah, yo.
All the good shit getting ready to go off. Although Crashing getting ready to come back.
You said who?
Crashing getting ready to come back.
Crashing? Oh, the comedic joint.
Yeah, yeah. That joint getting ready to come back.
Fuck. I watched that first season and I loved it. And I don't know what happened. I just like really fell
second
off.
Second season's really good, yo.
Yeah, I got to jump back in, yo.
Westworld about to come back too. You mean Marshawn Lynch is on there?
His what? Is that the shit with the robots?
Yeah.
Marshawn Lynch is not on that show,
yes,
dog.
He is, dog. Marshawn Lynch on there. You know what I mean? Jesse Pinkman from Breaking Bad. Shit gonna be epic.
These niggas is cooking up meth with the robot.
Shit's gonna be epic, yeah.
Yo, nah, you serious?
Yeah, like Marshawn Lynch is on there. And supposedly he plays a significant role.
Yo, shout out Marshawn Lynch.
Out there getting them diversifying that paycheck, baby.
God damn. Didn't they say he was like buying up property in Oakland?
Oakland? Yeah.
Yeah, for like anti.
I can't wait till he comes through with the Yay Area accent. Oh, Westworld.
Yo, dog, it's hella robots out here.
Hey, mate, there's hella robots out here, mate.
Yo, I might have to watch Westworld now. I've never watched it before. I've never seen it. I don't know what it's about. I know there are robots in it.
Yeah.
That's about it. But I've never seen it before. You might have just sold me on watching this fucking show.
It's essentially like if you was fucking Alexa. Like Alexa,
what?
Like got a whole body.
You just smashing AI.
Yeah.
What?
That's a lot of that in there.
Dog, I'm gonna edit this out. They green light that shit. They got to green light our show, dog. It's no way. It's no fucking way. You can tell me that Marshawn Lynch.
You know, they launching a whole app. HBO.
Really?
HBO. I think it's HBO Max. I think it's called. Or something like that. It's a whole app. And they're like they're dying for content. Like that, their goal is to green light like 20 times the shows they were green lighting before because they want to have like just crazy content. On
yeah,
there.
Yeah, fill it all up because it's gonna be like proprietary content that's like all their shit.
Yeah, because they're gonna have. I think it's a universe. I think they're matched with Universal. I think. Oh no, it's Warner Brothers. They're matched with Warner Brothers.
Yeah.
So they have all the Warner shit. And all what you call, and they bought like the Friends license, so they have Friends.
Fuck, are you serious?
Yeah.
Wow. Y'all niggas sitting around the crib watching Friends?
No, they said Friends was like the number one streaming show.
That's wild over The Office.
I think like Office was number two, but like Friends was number... Dog, a lot of it is... Like, you know what? This is how you can tell. You go into Target right now, there's a ton of Friends shirts.
Right.
It's a lot of like college students like just sitting around the crib watching like Friends.
Because they probably like saw their parents or some shit watching
you
it.
You know what I mean?
They weren't like fucking sick of it like we were. You know what I mean?
It wasn't like shoved down. Because you know what? Like, they didn't grow up with it like being replayed on 17 and like shit like 57 right. like 10 times a week. Like, you know what I mean?
What's the generation of kids like that are discovering like Baby Boy on BT?
I'm sure.
What is, like, what is that about?
There's a good generation that's doing that too.
Yo, that's so wild. I would have assumed The Office would be number one, but it makes sense that it's Friends.
Yeah.
It makes sense. Is Seinfeld anywhere streaming?
Hulu, I think.
Seinfeld is on Hulu?
I'm pretty sure. Yeah. Huh. Yeah, I think Seinfeld's on Hulu.
Yeah. Seinfeld to me, I know you've never seen Seinfeld.
I've seen like bits of it. I've never seen like.
Seinfeld to me is a far superior show than Friends.
Than Friends.
You know what I mean? And Seinfeld has a high like replay value. Like how The Office, like you could just throw that shit on.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's just
whatever,
it's
just episode, all good. Blah, yeah. Blah, blah, yeah.
Seinfeld is kind of like that.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like I would walk in the crib and just like pop on 17 or 29.
And it'd be like Seinfeld
would be on. I'd be like, yeah, let's go. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I mean, I don't know why. I don't know why I don't like it in the sense that like I love Curb. And right. It's Larry David. Like, Jerry right. Seinfeld's essentially Larry David. Yeah. I think that he just gets to go, like, full bore on Curb.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Seinfeld is really goofy, but it's not as realistic and, like, pessimistic as Curb yeah. is. You know what I mean? But you could tell they're from the same comedy DNA.
But I do love, what's his name, too?
Kramer?
Ben Stiller's pop.
Oh, no.
I love Ben Stiller's pop, and I know he's on there.
Yeah, yeah. He's one of the best things about
yeah,
that show.
He's hilarious. I used to love him on King of Queens.
Right.
So, like, I know he's hilarious. That Jerry Stiller, he's great. So, I don't know, man. I may have to, like, try to get into it, man. Somebody told me, do not watch the first season. Watch the second season.
First season is Babbage.
Yeah.
Do not watch it.
Maybe I'll try and get into, like, watching a second season. Just, like, binge that shit.
First season of Seinfeld is kind of like the first season of Buffy. If you walk into it and you're not invested, you're going to be like, what the fuck is this? And you're going to check out, probably. But if you already, you love it and you're like, you can go back to it. Like, I liked Seinfeld when it was on.
Yeah.
I could go back to Seinfeld's first season and watch it and enjoy it because I'm already invested in it.
Absolutely. Yo, I know what I just found out? You may really want to go to Universal Studios Los Angeles.
Okay.
Because like the Backlot Studio Tour, you ride through Buffy's neighborhood.
Ooh, Sunnydale. Come on.
You apparently, like, I was watching some other show. I was watching the show Practical Jokers.
Yeah.
And one of their punishments was the dude was, like, riding on, like, the Backlot Tour, and he had to keep, like, stopping it, essentially.
Right,
like,
right.
But, like, they rode through one part, and they were like, this is Buffy's neighborhood, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, yo, John would love that.
Oh, I'm going to go there and, like, stab a nigga in the heart with a stake. Come on.
Yeah,
we might have to go out to L.A. for various reasons.
Yes, yeah, we might be going to L.A. anyway.
We might
anyway,
have to go out
so.
To L.A., come on.
But, I'm open to the Seinfeld idea. I'm open to the Seinfeld idea.
Is there, like, a Seinfeld rewatch podcast? I'm always thinking of, like...
I'm sure there's one, but maybe not from a hip-hop perspective.
Yeah. I see what you did there. I like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yo, you know, we eating tacos today from a hip hop perspective. Exactly. You know what I mean? Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I always be thinking about that. Like, yo, is there like a rewatch podcast that we could fuck with? Somebody, we were talking for a while about doing an Entourage one, but somebody has one already.
Yeah.
But they're like three X-Files rewatch joints.
So, listen, there's a million shows that have, like, yo, Game of Thrones was like popping.
Right.
There was like 20 or 30 Game of Thrones podcasts.
That's so wild. I imagine you're like a white person in your 30s and you're thinking like, you know what? I have the unique spin.
Yeah.
I have the unique take on Game of Thrones. I'm going to add another podcast to the list. I would always be weird about that too. Like doing things that other people have done.
Yeah.
I'm real like sensitive to that shit.
We could do you cut this out. Patreon could be the Entourage Rewatch podcast.
Maybe.
I don't know. We'll keep that in the back burner.
Yeah, I'm going to edit that out.
Yeah, keep that on the back burner.
Let me. Yeah. dude, I like that. I want to do that shit.
Yeah, so do I.
Like, I want to fucking do it, but then some other fucking yokels did one.
Yeah, but I'm telling you, like, we can make it funny. People like us, so, like, you know what I mean?
I was going to say, that shit probably trash.
Yeah.
God damn.
But, so. No, I mean, we talked about doing the Entourage one. I mean, we could do a Seinfeld one, too.
Yeah, yeah. We might have to do...
People enjoy us listening to us talk, dog. So.
Just watching shit and talking shit. Yeah. I really think... maybe I'll edit this out. I don't know. But Liz and I have been talking about... She calls it Nigga Science Theater.
Mystery Science. Okay, I get it. Hey.
I am not naming a podcast Nigga Science Theater. It's not fucking happening.
I'm just going to say this much. As a podcast that has the word shit in it, and we found that it has obstacles.
Right.
I'm not sure what obstacles the N-word are going to play in you getting different opportunities.
Right. Like, I feel like it'll impede shit, and it makes shit weird. Even I do NPR every week now. Yeah. So every single time the host brings me onto the show, he says, and next we're joined by music journalist, DJ, John Morrison. He's the host of Culture Cypher Radio and also the host of Serious Rap-ish. Like, he every single time in the intro, he does like the little pause and then he self-edits. I don't want to be on NPR with Liz. And they're like, we're joined by John Morrison and Melissa Simpson of N-Word Science Theater.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Just... Now we can name it something else, but basically it would be a watch podcast. She and I watching like bad hood movies and like talking shit and commenting on them, or like generally like not even necessarily just hood movies, but like B movies made by black people.
Yeah,
independent joints, all of that shit. Which there's like
they do like the Menage a Trois movies. There's like three of those. Yeah, just like three of those.
Do Plug Love. Yeah, you know what I mean? I think Plug Love might have been the one that sparked the idea. Like, we were watching Plug Love and was like, dog, we should do a podcast where we just watch black ass movies and like talk shit. But you know, it's I've been wanting to do something like that. That's like film, you know, us talking shit. So yeah, maybe what you said about the I'm gonna edit it out Patreon.
Yeah,
maybe that'll be the thing.
Yeah, that could be the direction, bro. All right. That could be the direction. Why don't we take a break? And we'll come back with the topics for the day.
Okay, we out.
Tomorrow night, it's the biggest night of the year for podcast fans. Our 2021 iHeartRadio Podcast Awards.
These are really some of the best and brightest and smartest and most compelling minds in the country.
Celebrate the podcasts we've leaned on for laughs, headlines, stories to get our adrenaline pumping, and voices to comfort us.
This is a huge honor.
We did it!
Thank you to my listeners, because without them, this wouldn't happen.
Don't miss our 2021 iHeartRadio Podcast Awards. Watch on iHeartRadio's YouTube and Facebook, and listen on our iHeartRadio app tomorrow at 9 p.m.
What do explorers, an Army officer, and a Minnesota insurance salesman have in common? They all wanted to be the first to reach the North Pole, but only one of them made it. I'm Kat Long, science editor at Mental Floss and host of the new podcast, The Quest for the North Pole, which dives into the centuries-long race to explore the Arctic, find the Northwest Passage, and conquer the top of the world. With a cast of daring adventurers and some pretty determined amateurs, the race to the pole reveals the human desire to solve mysteries of geography and the soul. We'll look at the important Arctic expeditions that filled the blank spaces on the map and recognize how Indigenous people made them successful. We'll examine what pushed explorers to venture ever farther into the unknown and uncharted, and how the climate crisis is changing the Arctic today. Listen to The Quest for the North Pole every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So apparently, you know, the world's ending. Like, there's this up is down, left is right. Everything's terrible. Further evidence of this, Spike Lee was thrown out of Madison Square Garden. Did you see this?
Yes.
What the fuck, yo?
Apparently, he uses the employee entrance.
Yeah, I remember, I saw him say that.
But he's used it for like ever. Like, right. You know what I mean? And like they apparently were like grabbed him up and was like, yo, you gotta stop. You can't use this entrance no more. You gotta go through. And they like, he was just started screaming like, what you gonna do? Arrest me like Oakley?
Arrest me like Oakley?
I saw more ESPN today.
It was like, you gonna arrest me like my brother Charles Oakley? I fucking love, dog, I don't give a fuck. I love Spike Lee, dog. I fucking love Spike Lee. He didn't imply. He said directly. He was like, something like that came from the top.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Has he been like criticizing the Knicks publicly or criticizing their owner, James Dolan?
I don't know if he's criticized the Knicks probably. I like almost guarantee that. They suck. Like,
makes sense. Yeah, he's passionate.
He drops like $20,000 a year on tickets or some shit like that.
They said he spent in 30 years, he spent $10
million. Oh, I could see that easy.
On Knicks seat. That's fucking crazy.
Yeah. So I can definitely see like him going like, yo, the team sucks and like I'm tired of spending this kind of money and my team is terrible.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
New
York is tired.
Yeah.
I ain't even from up there.
Dog,
I know y'all
Dolan
tired.
Dolan is like super sensitive and like doesn't like that people are criticizing him. Like, there's chance that the games are like sell the team. Like, especially if they show him like on the Jumbotron, like there's chance of like sell the team.
Right.
So I mean, listen, man, on top of that, it's like, I mean, essentially is like he is an employee of the team. Like, he's the one thing I do know of the Knicks.
Come on.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, Spike Lee being courtside has happened since I was a kid.
It's a tradition.
You know what I mean? So like I know him being courtside more than I know, you know, good 50% of the Knicks players that have played over
right
the years.
Now. Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, like he essentially is an employee and he's used it for so long. Then, like, I heard a bunch of other media people being like, yo, everybody uses that entrance. Like, it's not just Spike.
Come on. Yeah.
Like, everybody uses that entrance. So, right.
I feel like it had to have been, you know.
Oh, it's personal shit.
Yeah. Yeah. He's criticizing the team. Maybe he's like, yo, Dolan fucking up.
Yeah.
And it got back to him. And he's like, yo, fuck this dude.
Yeah, like
he's not.
Then they were like, the team put out like an announcement about it and like then put out a response to Spike Lee being on ESPN. Mm. And like a bunch of the sports people was like, they did more about this than they did about hiring a new GM. Like,
right.
I think their priorities are a little
more
fucked
effort,
up.
Yeah.
Like,
oh man.
So I mean, I don't know, man. Like, I don't see why it's a big deal. Who gives a shit what entrance he uses? Like, he's Spike Lee. He's the most famous Nick there is, essentially.
Come on.
It's him and Walt Frazier.
Come
like,
on.
You know what I mean?
Him and Walt Frazier. Him and Earl the Pearl.
Yeah, like, they're the most famous Knicks.
Yo.
Like, you know what I mean? So, I don't get the whole attitude behind, like, oh, he's using this entrance and blah, blah, blah. Again, like you said, it has to be a personal thing. James Dolan is, like, super sensitive and whiny.
Isn't he, like, in a blues band or, like, a rock band or something?
JD in the Straight Shots or Sure Shots,
like that. Oh, shit. Yeah. So is he just, like, the rich guy who can, like, bankroll?
Absolutely.
Fuck. God, dog. Real shit? You know. I'm a reasonable guy. If I was a millionaire, I would bankroll my own rap career, dog. I would bankroll a rap career, and I'd be really, really fucking obnoxious about it.
Because
I'm nicer than all y'all niggas anyway. I would get back into this shit and do like
a
James Dolan move.
If I had the money, I would be making like Zach Fox songs.
Making a mixtape with Zach Fox.
That would be my job. Like, you know what I mean? I'd just be bankrolling a terrible rap career.
We not mad at you, James Dolan, but you fucking up.
Yeah, supposedly he wants to buy the Mets, too.
Stop buying teams, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like, you biting off more than you could chew.
You can't run the Knicks.
Come on, man. Like,
and I think he owns the Rangers, too. I think.
Really?
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah, he owns the Rangers, and then there's like there's rumors that he wants to buy the net.
And
the
his Nets. his shit's like family money, right?
I'm sure.
Yeah, he didn't
like,
earn that.
At least a good chunk of it was family money, and like, then, like he put on. So it's kind of like how Jeffrey Lurie had like a big like family money,
right?
And like then he tried to make some movies in Hollywood and shit, and then he took part of the money. But see, part of the thing is like they were saying the Sixers ownership bought in for like $270,000. Like, that's how much... Oh, excuse me, 270
million. I was like, what the fuck?
270 million, right? And this is how crazy numbers are, right? But they bought in for $270 million. The team's worth $2 billion now.
Oh, shit.
And the Knicks are worth two times that. They're worth $4 billion. Right. So, like, whatever he bought them for, you know, in whatever year, I guess probably like the mid-90s or something, early 90s, he bought them. And, like, he probably paid tens of millions.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But now the team's worth $4 billion. Like, yeah, it was like family money at one point, but now he's made his money.
He flipped that shit. Yeah. Oh, God damn. Yeah.
He ain't getting bricks on consignment no more.
No, like, you know not I mean? In the least. God damn.
He is the plug now.
Yeah. That's, you know what I mean? Jesus. Them kind of numbers are like.
Yeah, it's crazy that, like, I mean, like, somebody was saying, I was listening to a Sixers podcast, and they was like, yo, I wish the Sixers owners would just, like, sell the team and then go back, like, you know, some politician against abortion or something like that. Because they're, like, supposedly they're super right-wing and shit like that. Like,
right.
They backed the dude who was banned from the mall for, like, harassing 16-year-olds, the boy that was running for Senate in Alabama.
Oh, Roy Moore?
Yeah, Roy Moore. I was about to say Rudy Ray Moore, and I knew that wasn't right. So
it
wasn't like,
Dolomite.
I'm like, yeah, there's something like that.
Dolomite had old hoes. He didn't handle young jokes. God damn. So you said the Sixers?
Yeah, Sixers ownership.
They backed Roy Moore.
Yeah, supposedly, they backed Roy Moore.
Oh, man.
Yeah, they contributed to his campaign.
Sixers, y'all making it hard. Y'all making it hard for me to love y'all. You know what I mean? Y'all sticking it up on the court, low key. Now this shit, come on.
Yeah.
I'm going to try to ignore that. I'm going to try to forget I heard
that.
Well,
yo, if you're a fan of a team, like, 9 times out of 10, your ownership is terrible.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You can't, like, no EPL team, no team in, like, the Premier League in Europe and shit. Like, all their owners are, like, fucking terrible.
Yeah.
They're all, like, oil magnets and shit like that. Jeez. Like, you know what I mean?
You can't convince me that on the weekends, Mark Cuban don't, like, hunt niggas on, like, the grounds of his mansion.
Yeah, like,
remember the Ice-T movie when it was, like, I think it was Ice-T?
Yeah.
Hunting them in the jungle
Survivor
and shit.
Or something like that, some shit, yeah.
You can't convince me Mark Cuban don't be doing that shit.
Nah.
Come on.
Nah. Like, there's another movie like that coming out. I think it's called The Hunt.
I saw that.
Yeah.
What the fuck is the deal with that?
Because the shit is real and it actually happens. Like, you know what I mean?
Niggas, I feel like niggas is like, niggas will go to, like, Mark Cuban crib in, like, Hollywood or some shit, and then he shows them, like, yeah, this is my back lot where I hunt man, you know, the greatest kill. And then niggas, like, go home, they, like, yayed up and shit, and they go home and, like, write the script. Like, I'm running through the forest. Shot me in my Achilles, like, all kind of, like, you know, art imitating.
Yeah. No, it happens, though. Trust me. Life.
Yo, I don't think that, like, I know some people, like, criticize Spike, you know what I mean? They see he's, like, I'm never mad at somebody who's, like, passionate or, like, boisterous or whatever. That's not a thing that offends me and shit. Motherfuckers have been critical of the way Spike has moved or whatever. But the man been a fan of the team 60 years or Absolutely. Whatever the fuck it is, you know what I mean? This kind of stuff where you're, like, having security throw him out. That would fuck me up, you know what I mean? To be the security guard that's got to do that. You know, it's probably somebody black. It's probably a brother, you know what I mean? And you got to throw Spike Lee. That motherfucker made Mo Better Blues.
Exactly.
He made Malcolm X. You got to throw him out of Madison Square Garden. That's just out of pocket. The Oakley shit was out of pocket.
You know, they probably came over like, yo, listen, Spike. Like, we don't want to do this, man.
Listen, bro.
And yo, what you going to put my hands behind my back? Like, he was hot. Like, he was really wild.
Yeah, yo.
So.
Oh, man. Like, listen, bro. I'm going to see this. I agree. Mookie should have threw the trash can through Sal's window. I was with you on that. Nah, man. It's no way.
I just work here, man. Like, you know what I mean?
That's the worst shit when you got... I pray that you and I are never put in that position where we got to do, like... Not gotta, but, like, where we're, like... press to do some, like, sucker shit for money.
Yeah.
I'm not with that.
But you, like, basically breaking all your principles to be, like... Yeah, but I got, like, this rent's due next week, you know?
Yeah, yo. God damn. Life, yo. Capitalism.
Yeah.
It's just fucking rough.
That being said, this new endorsement we got for... right now, I'm kidding.
Y'all get them dick pills yet?
No, that's real, dog. Yeah. Like, speaking of people who, like, you know, decided they didn't want to go on their principles. apparently, like, okay, so it was announced that Public Enemy was going to be doing a show in accordance with the Bernie Sanders rally in L.A. This past weekend. And then, like, a whole fallout happened after that where,
right,
like, Flav was like, yo, I'm not doing it, and Chuck shouldn't be doing this thing, and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, yeah.
And so there's been an issue between Chuck and Flav for a long time.
Right. This shows you how quickly we forget things on the internet. Because people have been like, what, Flavor Flav and Chuck D can't come to
an agreement?
Yeah, like, no, they've had issues for a long fucking time. Flavor Flav sued Chuck D not 2 years ago.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Over, like, royalties and, like, ownership of the name or whatever. So they've had issues for a while. Like you said, Chuck D, revolutionary, idealistic. He said, you know, of course, Bernie Sanders, we'll play your event for free. And Flavor Flav probably was like, wait, I'm not paying nothing for free. You know what I mean? And that ain't, because I know they do Public Enemy and they do Public Enemy Radio.
Yeah.
Which is essentially them without Flav.
Yeah.
From what I understand. When I saw me and my brother, shout out to my brother, a few years ago, we saw them as Public Enemy and Flav was there. You know what I mean? It was like Chuck D, Flav. I don't think they do stuff with Griff anymore.
Nah.
I don't think Terminator X is ever there anymore.
Nah, they have a different DJ now.
Yeah, it was Chuck and Flav. So I know they've been doing stuff over the last few years together. But yeah, Flav, I feel like, I'm not on the inside of that shit. I feel like Flav was like, I didn't agree to endorse this candidate, and I ain't agree to pay for free.
Yeah.
So fuck that. I'm not down with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I mean, again, like you said, I think people just ignore the fact that, like, this isn't new. These are disagreements they've been going on.
They've been beefing.
When Flav was heavy in the drugs, Chuck was like, yo, you're out the group. Like,
yeah. Chuck would throw a motherfucker out the group.
Yeah,
he threw Professor Griff out the group because Professor Griff was down with Khalid Muhammad.
Yeah.
Ice Cube was down with Khalid Muhammad too. It's crazy. Sidebar, I was watching Ice Cube video Be True to the Game.
Mm-hmm.
And in the video, he's like hemming up brothers for like dating white women and shit. And he's like throw a dude in like the trunk of his car for like selling out and shit. And I'm watching it and I'm like, damn, yo, Cube must have really been hanging with Khalid Muhammad around this time. And I was like, I like laughed at myself saying that. Khalid Muhammad is in the end of that video. So yeah, when Griff was rolling with him, they threw Griff out of the group. You know what I mean? So Chuck, he does this shit. He fires motherfuckers. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, he came up with the name. He came up with the logo. It was essentially his shit. And then, like, so he feels ownership of it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I don't know the legalities of this shit. I do know Public Enemy history. And when they were, like, Spectrum City Sound System back in the day, Flav was down with them back then. When they were doing, like, radio shit in New York, before there was a Public Enemy, Flav was right there.
Yeah.
So, you know, he has a right to be
absolutely
like, yo, this is part of my thing, too, that I helped build. I've been seeing a lot of folks who I question, like, how much they know about Public Enemy or how much they know about hip-hop in general. I've been seeing folks like, oh, Flav, he don't do nothing, no way. He just like the silly boy in the background. But, like, imagine listening to Fight the Power and not doing motherfucker and John Wayne, you know what I mean? Motherfucker and John Wayne. Like, imagine not having that line there, you know what I mean? Imagine not having 911 as a joke.
Yeah.
Flav is like a core part of that shit.
Flav is
Public Enemy number one. You know what I mean? I think that if Chuck had more respect for Flav, because Chuck, I love Chuck D. Like, I'm not trying to disrespect Chuck D. I love Chuck D.
Like you said on the last episode, literally, Chuck gave you your first check for writing.
Yeah,
like,
the first person to pay me to write about music. You know what I'm saying? And I was a young boy. You know what I mean? I couldn't even drink legally. if Chuck would have, like, I mean, I don't know, because I don't know the internal shit. I want to say, yo, you couldn't run this by your man before y'all made this announcement, but maybe he did. Yeah. And Flav still was like, yo, I'm not down with it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't know the inner workings of the shit.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. We all don't know what the conversations were behind scenes and was like, did Chuck go like, yo, we gonna do this show for Bernie and the rally, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And then Flav was like, yeah, cool. And then like they came back and was like, but you know, we're not doing it for no money. And Flav was like, well, fuck that.
Are you doing that shit?
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I wouldn't be happy if you were like, I mean, we're on a different level, but like, I wouldn't love it if you were like, yo, we doing this thing. We need to like talk about shit before we
agree. Absolutely.
You know what I mean? But maybe, like you said, maybe he did. Maybe he did bring it to him. You know what I mean?
We don't know the inner workings, so like I can't. I just know like there is a reason why. Like the crazy thing is like people were like freaking out when they were like, oh, Bernie, he's doing this shit for Bernie. And like, somebody hit me up and was like, yo, look at this person's wilding in the comments talking about they were this white John was just like, oh, my favorite group is a socialist or they support socialists. And I'm just like, did she listen to the group? To the message at all?
Right. I feel like a lot of people, especially in maybe like in our age group, like people who were kids in the 90s. I know a lot of us did get like the political messaging from like Public Enemy, Ice Cube, Rage Against the Machine. But it seems like there's this whole other class of like late millennials that don't realize that any of that music was political.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? They're just like, you know, Bulls on Parade. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, they don't realize, like, no, any of it it's about.
There's one of the dudes who does, like, sports talk radio here. I don't know when he does it anymore, because you know these dudes, first of all, it's so ancestral, and they, like, bounce from, like, station to station. Right. And it's so much of, like, you know, they switch time slots all the time and all that kind of shit.
Mm-hmm.
I was listening to the one dude and he was like, yeah man, I loved Rage, blah blah blah, but like I just never could get behind their political message. And I'm like, so you love like Tom Morello, like, you know what I mean?
I like the guitars. That drummer's badass. That vocalist, man. Yeah, I don't know.
Like, so you didn't like Rage's music, you just like the guitar and the drums, like, essentially.
Like, what the fuck?
Every song has a political message.
Right.
And the crazy part is, like, Tom Morello may be the most active politically than all of them.
I was going to say, Tom Morello might be more radical than Zach. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. You know what I mean? That's so weird to me. Like, I understand some bands are political and the message is, like, subversive.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or it's, like, coded. I totally get that. Public Enemy, dog. They t-shirt is a black man in a scope of a target. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like to not think that they're a politically active band
That's so crazy to me. Like, what are y'all listening to?
Yeah.
What the fuck are y'all listening to?
Yeah, like, if you'd be like, yo, man, like, I really love, like, Waka Flocka. But like, yeah, okay, well, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, if he came out with a wild political opinion, you'd be like, damn, it sucks because my favorite artist is, like, really into, like, this shit. Be like, okay, yeah, I mean, like, his music never led you down the path of saying he's this political or not.
You'd be like, yo, Waka Flocka would have overturned Roe v. Wade. I never got that from his songs.
I never thought he was against abortion.
Right.
Like,
what the fuck? You listen to Public Enemy and you didn't think,
like,
they were...
Like, miss a meaning and go hard in the paint? Like, right. You know what I mean?
You heard Public Enemy and didn't think that they would absolutely support a candidate like Bernie Sanders.
Yeah.
If anything, I would have thought Public Enemy would have been like, no, we not riding with no Democrat. I would have thought, you know what I mean? They were like to the left of Bernie Sanders.
I mean, it was wild to see Boots come out and like...
Right, you know, Boots Riley, yeah.
Like, they call Bernie a socialist and a communist?
Boots Riley is a legit communist. Yeah. Like, on some like, yo, we need to like be in the streets... General strike across, you know, Google that phrase if you don't know it. If you don't know the difference between a strike and a general strike, Google that shit. Across the board, you know what I mean? Like, he's like a straight, we need to like seize the means of production.
Yeah, exactly.
He's a straight communist. And he was like, yeah, I think I'm a ride with Bernie.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because heads are seeing like, yo, in order to get to the world of general strikes, mass civil disobedience, we need some of this like pressure relieved.
Yes.
That's what Bernie Sanders is, like a pressure reliever.
Yeah,
you know,
it's a
pressure,
what I mean? A pressure release valve. Like, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Like, he's the first step in a long line of progressively getting more left and that kind of shit. Like, yeah. I said, like, I think we talked about it on a previous podcast, like the idea that his ideas are radical and all this other shit. It's like, yeah, a lot of his ideas just work in every major country in the world. Right. Like, you know what I mean? And the idea that that's radical is just, you know, you believe capitalism is everything. You
right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yo. This whole public enemy thing is weird to me also, that people are like, oh, public enemies breaking up over politics. I get that it looks like that on the face. I would bet that it's probably partially politics. Flav is probably like, I didn't agree to, you know, campaign for this guy, essentially. I know Flav did say something about like, yeah, you know, I rock with Trump. You know what I mean? Like years ago when he was running. So maybe there's conflict there. Maybe they're just one.
I would not be surprised if he was on like a Celebrity Apprentice. Like, you know
right.
what I mean?
He might judge politicians like a lot of y'all judge politicians. Oh, yeah, I like the bull.
Yeah.
You know, you're a good bull. You know what I mean? Not like on some like deeper, like, yo, this is like an analysis of this motherfucker's policies. But then also, Flav is rich. So he might be like a right wing motherfucker. I think a lot of it is, you know, probably that playing for free thing in combination with the I didn't agree to support this candidate thing.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it makes sense. And like, I mean, like, P released that statement. It was just like, yo, Flav's been on suspension or been on like
you on probation.
Yeah, he's been on probation for like the last 10 years type shit. He's been on probation since Flavor of Love. Like,
right.
You know what I mean?
Oh, man.
So, I mean, I think there's been like, you know, there's active things that are like, there's internal issues that a lot of us don't know.
Don't know. Yeah, I think that also a lot of us don't think we really understand like the nature of Flavor Flav as like in his role in Public Enemy. A lot of the like messaging that they sold, one, their music was like loud and noisy as shit. You know what I mean? Which was jarring to people when it came out. The messages were like radical messages. Flav, we talking about releasing pressure. Flav's presence with like being funny and being like jovial and all of that made Public Enemy go down a lot easier.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? So I'm seeing a lot of people who are like, I think people who mainly engaged with him through like the Flavor of Love, you know, the clownish kind of like persona in the aughts. I think a lot of people are like misinterpreting. They're like, because I've heard the folks say, well, Chuck should have been kicked Flav out when he did Flavor of Love and all of that shit. Flav made Public Enemy go down easier to a 100%. Lot of people and made, he was a lot of the charisma. Not that Chuck's not charismatic, because he is as an MC. Flav, a lot of that charisma he used to bring people in.
100%. I mean, like, there was a lot of rap groups that were in a similar vein to Public Enemy.
Mm-hmm.
Public Enemy had a broader success because Flav helped, like you said, help their message go down easier. You know what I mean?
Between Chuck, the way Chuck said shit and the way they actually made music, Flav's charisma, that fucking logo, which was, if you went to middle school or high school in the 90s, black kids, white kids, brown kids, Asian kids, everybody across demographics fucked with that logo.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, it's
they
the
had
most
a broader
iconic
appeal.
Logo in hip hop next to Run DMC's.
Mm-hmm.
Literally the most iconic.
It's three of them. It's Run DMC, it's Public Enemy, it's Wu-Tang. As far as logos.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? That's like the most iconic.
Yeah.
So they had a broader appeal than like a group like X Clan.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Different groups, Poor Righteous Teachers. You know what I mean? People love those groups, but they weren't superstars like Public Enemy.
They weren't getting play on MTV regularly.
Nah. Like, Yo MTV raps, but like regular MTV? Nah. You know what I mean? So Flav is a big part of that. I hope that they can, like, because I don't want to see a Public Enemy without Flav. You know what I mean?
No. I think they'll work it out. I mean, also, you're talking about, like, these dudes are in, like, their 50s.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you get crotchety as you get older, and, like, you know what I mean? And, like, little shit can piss you off and run a lot harder than you would if they were, you know, 20 years ago.
Yeah, like, heads got Twitter.
They're,
like, saying shit on Twitter to each other. You know what I mean? Yeah, I don't want to see... It was really like one of my favorite groups. You know what I mean? I don't want to see them like at odds because of this
beefing
shit.
And hating on each other. That ain't how you want it to work.
Definitely not over no motherfucking politician or not over no money. You know what I mean? Like,
Nah, not at all.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
If I could be you,
and you could be me,
for just 1 hour,
if you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind,
walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out, and for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Talking about artists and money and those type of things. Recently, I just read Positive News came out and said that Tommy Boy has kind of came back to the table and like
negotiating
to do the streaming rights. And because
Public Enemy for folks that don't remember, De La Soul had a whole beef. There's a reason why none of their like classic albums are on any of the streaming services because they were negotiating with their label, Tommy Boy Records, and basically Tommy Boy offered them like pennies. Towards royalties for their music to appear on streaming sites. And De La was like, nah, fuck that. We won't do it. You know what I mean? So yeah, like you said, Positive News announced like, yo, you know, Tommy Boy's willing to come back and talk about this. I hope they can work it out. Now I hope they get a radically better
deal than most of these people got.
Yeah, because I don't want them to get the same deal that all these other motherfuckers are getting.
Pennies on the dollar.
Put their shit on Spotify. You know what I mean? I hope they get a better fucking deal than that. Because that shit's unfair, frankly.
And like they say, like, you know, they're willing to give some where they're like, you know, you can keep the masters. Like, and we would love to have the masters, but we understand that they, you know, they own them technically, and like they can, you know, they want to be able to invest, they want to make money off this aspect as well too. Yeah. So, like, I think if there's a little giving, you know, a little give in both sides, I think they probably could come to the table and make a good deal. But I do not blame. Like, I would love to have De La. To be able to stream like and listen to, I would love to have a, you know what I mean, a Native Tongues playlist to go through, shit like that,
right?
But No, I'm not. Like, I don't blame them for not having their shit on there, because I would tell them to go fuck themselves too.
Yeah, dog, that shit. I'm not trying to like bash Spotify, but the rates that artists are getting paid is not fair.
Nah,
it's not fucking fair. All the money that's being generated through streaming and through advertising and shit, it's not fair that these artists aren't getting paid for it. You know what I mean?
I mean, people, you gotta do like 10,000 plays to make a couple bucks type thing. Like, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, fuck that, yo. I put out a record this week for a pre-order only on Bandcamp.
Yeah.
And people have been, I haven't even said anything like, yo, it's just on Bandcamp. You know what I mean? I want y'all to support me there. Folks, I just made the announcement. Folks been dinging that pre-order, dog. You know what I mean? And I'm seeing how much I'm, like, making off of this shit. I'm not making a killing, but it's, like, a nice amount of money for people to be, you know, supporting me. And I would have to do, I don't know how many streams. The money I made this week off of pre-order on that tape, I don't know how many thousands or a million streams I would have to do to get cut a check for the money that's sitting in my PayPal right now, just for folks just showing love. You know what I mean? You know, I'm not with that shit. I got a record on Spotify now.
Yeah.
And I know what that look like next to what the Bandcamp thing looks like.
Yeah.
And it's a world apart.
Yeah, why don't you talk more about the project that you released?
Yeah. This week, well, before we do that.
Why don't we do a break?
Let's do a break and we come back and talk about it. All right. Boom, back in the house. So, basically, this week I released a project. It's called Memorabilia. It's a bunch of remixes that I've been working on for a while. A lot of this stuff I did immediately following when I got out of the hospital. We took my family, shout out to my family, brought my turntables and my mixer and everything, sampler, to my mom's crib while I rehabbed. Because you remember, like, you would have to help me upstairs to go to the bathroom. Like, I couldn't walk, couldn't stand any longer than like 30 seconds. You know what I mean? I was all fucked up. But I had a lot of time to make beats and to like make remixes and shit. So I really, playing off of this theme of like memory and like nostalgia and shit, it's really just like a bunch of like ill flips of like Radiohead, The Roots.
Yeah, you got like Tom York and Black Thought joint on there.
Tom York is singing and then Black Thought just come in rhyming. And it sound fly. It's not like a corny, a mashup thing. You know what I mean? You know, Pete Rock and CL, just like a bunch of shit that I liked, you know what I mean? And just like making new versions of it.
The artwork's super dope too, yo.
Shout out to Liz, yo. Liz did the fucking artwork.
Where'd you get a fucking Ty Records bag? Off eBay?
eBay, yeah. Because I didn't have any left.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I dug a bunch of stuff out of my mom's basement to put, you know, in that, do that photo shoot for the album cover. Basically, the album, I'll tell folks the link now before I forget. If you go to johnmorrison215.bandcamp.com, you can find the album. And the album cover is basically like an aerial shot. It's in our living room in West Philly, and it's a bunch of like records, tapes. It looks like my bedroom when I was a kid. You know what I mean? Like, it's like a bunch of stuff.
It's comic books mixed in.
Comic books all over the floor. You know what I mean? So it really is like intended to call up like this idea of like memory and nostalgia and all of that. And like, folks have been like really responding to the shit. You know what I mean? I'm weird about releasing music. Like, I get up to the point where sidebar. I'm a build up a little bit more juice, but I'm gonna probably master and release Echo Halo. Like, it's at some point.
Yeah.
Old album I made. Josh is the only person that cares. I'm strictly doing it for you.
No, I want it now because I don't think I have a copy of it anymore, because it was on my old computer that crashed. And when I rebooted it, it lost everything I had on there. So
I definitely probably in this drive right here.
Still have a copy.
It's
of
there.
It.
Yeah, I know I got some of the stuff in this computer, but yeah, I'm probably gonna like just do like a quick like master of it and put it up because it's all mixed. Like it's all done.
Yeah, I remember when you went and did that too.
Yeah, shout out to my man Alap. Me and Alap mixed that joint, but and ate Cuban food for the whole weekend and drank 40 ounces. But yeah, memorabilia is up for pre-order now, and it's dope. It's like, you know, Beastie Boys, Flip on there, Biggie, Jadakiss, just like any acapella that I could freak with, like a new beat that I made. And yeah, so people have been like really showing out, you know what I mean? Like buying it. I got cassettes made, you know what I mean, on some like real vintage shit. People have been buying them cassettes, you know what I mean? Like folks all over, you know what I mean? So it's been lovely. It's been a while since I've released a record. So it's been cool to see some folks who were really excited about the last record. As soon as I put the pre-order up for the new one, somebody like bought it. You know what I mean? Like somebody who I know was like, yo, when you gonna make another record? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's lovely. And like the next few weeks I'll be like working that. It officially, the full thing comes out on the 13th.
Yeah.
Which is weird because like I put up the pre-order on the 3rd, which was the anniversary of the day I was actually hospitalized. And then I said to myself, I was like, all right, well, I'll have it up there for 10 days pre-order, and then I'll release it on the 13th. The 13th is the first day that, like, my cognitive function started coming back.
Okay.
Like, the 13th was the first day, the 13th of March was the first day that I actually, like, remember, quote-unquote.
Yeah. I saw you post yesterday where it was like, or was it yesterday or today?
It might have been today.
Where you were like, oh, I have no memories for this week on Facebook for like 2 years ago. There's nothing.
It's there. Nothing there. Cause you were there. Like, I was like strapped to a bed and they had like a tube in my throat.
Well, yeah. I mean, like even for like, it's a weird aspect for me where it's like, I mean, me and you interact on the internet all day. Like, throughout a day, every day.
That's a lot. Like a lot of our work stuff, we get done.
Yeah, exactly. Just like tossing ideas back and
each
forth.
Other back. Yeah.
So to not have that for like for that period was weird. Like to not go online and see you be online or go on there and like send you a message. There was none of that. So like, if you look at my shit from 2 years ago, it is weird. Like there is no like. There's not a lot of connectivity to like anything else that's going on.
Tagging me in some shit.
Yeah,
or whatever.
Exactly. There's none of that, and it's weird. Like I could, like you said when you posted, I was like, "Wow, I want to see what mine is." And like some of it's blank. There's some days. The other day was completely blank. Like there was nothing, and it was like I remember. You know, that was also a time when I was going through a breakup as well, and so like I was like down. Like my, you know what I mean. My spirit was dead. So
that whole like. Little span of time. Like, I know we like bring this shit up. I know I bring it up on the podcast a lot, but y'all niggas ain't never cheat death. You know what I'm saying? Oh, you might have, but you know, like that shit, it's like some impactful shit.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, it affected like where you went going forward, where we focused going forward as well.
Right.
We took less things for granted, I think.
I would say so, yeah.
I think it made us realize, like, yo, we really have this opportunity to do things. We should take advantage of it.
Yeah.
Obviously, that was the same time when we were supposed to be going away to go shoot a documentary.
Right.
And, like, it was a big struggle inside of me to be like, do I go? Like, is it fair that he can't go?
Yeah. I wanted y'all, like, 1,000%.
It wasn't until, like, I spoke to you and you were, like, really completely all the way back around.
Yeah.
You were still, like, body was beaten down, but mentally you were, like,
my brain had kind of snapped back in,
You were like, no, man, you should go. Like, you got to do it for us. Like, do this for me because I can't go. And I'm like, that made me feel comfortable about going.
Right.
Because, you know, not just the fact that it was, like, especially at that time, a lot of like, if you go back and listen to a lot of the older episodes, you did a lot of the driver's seat stuff of like, you know, oh, we'll set up this topic this way, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, yeah.
And I didn't do that kind of stuff. It wasn't so like going over there and being a person who's going to have to interview people and doing all those type of things left a very like, oh my God, like, am I going to be able to do this? Or am I going over here to completely fuck up and somebody's investing money in us and that kind of stuff?
Yeah. Y'all knocked that shit out the park, though. Like, I can't wait for people to see it.
To really see it. Hopefully, we have something this summer. We'll have a good copy out this summer. But we were in a position where, like, you know, also it was just like, you know, we had decided, like, yo, this is what we're going to do. We're going to push forward doing this kind of stuff, being creative. And then you getting sick, it was kind of just like, holy shit, like, what are we doing now?
Right.
Like, what happens to the rest of us doing shit? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I felt terrible because I was like, oh, am I being selfish? Like, what am I thinking about?
Nah, but you got to think about the whole...
it was everything. Yeah, it's not just like, I don't give a shit that he's sick. It's more about me. It was just like, but the idea was like, holy shit, like, me and him are business partners. And if something happens to him, like, what does that mean going forward? Like, everything, right?
And, like, not even to be, like, hyperbolic, but, like, they did not know.
Yeah, exactly. Niggas, and I think that was the biggest thing is, like... You know, I'd go down there every day, and they'd be like, "Well, they don't know what's going on." And like, that would freak my mom. Was like, "Well, I don't understand." She was asking people like that she knew in the medical field because my mom's a nurse, so like she was asking doctors that she interacted with or people that she was like, "What's why would they say this and they don't know this?" And it was a long time before they had any kind of like any real diagnosis. Yeah. Like, I would go down there, and I'd see your mom and Liz and like your brother, and then it'd be like, "Well, we don't know."
Yeah. Somebody hit me up the other day and was like, "Yo, I'm glad you're here. That shit took my friend out. That shit you had killed my friend."
If they would have, you know, if you like, you went to Presbyterian, what, twice, and they sent you home?
Yeah, they did.
Like, you know what I mean? That's why when Liz
called
me. Shout
out to Presbyterian.
When Liz called me, she was like, "Should I take them back to Presbyterian because they know what's going on?" And I was like, I would try. She was like, "Well, should I go to UPenn?" And I was like, "I would just try UPenn just for a second opinion at this point. Like, he's still having issues. Yeah. Take him to somewhere else about a second opinion."
They were sending me back home like I had the sniffles.
Yeah, meanwhile, like, "Yo, you got a headache. You'll be all right."
It felt like somebody like hit me in my whole head with like a anvil or some shit for like 2 weeks straight.
Yeah.
Like searing pain in my head. But it was brain swelling.
Yeah.
But, you know, the hospitals weren't
getting it.
Yeah, they didn't pick up on it.
Yeah, so for you to come out of that and like be creative and do like have this idea that like, "Yo, I'm gonna fuck with this shit, I'm gonna do this." And I mean, even like, hey, listen, this actually has been sitting around for a little while too. Like, this project was kind of complete for a little while.
Yeah, yeah.
You were waiting for some like peripheral things to get taken care of.
Right. I definitely nothing that I don't think anything that made it onto the tape, but in the hospital I was definitely on my Dilla shit. Like, Liz had brought me a keyboard. I finished the film score while I was in the hospital. Collapsed lung, all of that. But I was definitely making beats in the hospital.
Your mom was like, I think it was your mom. She was like, "Well, I definitely know he's feeling better because he's like wanting to make music."
Yeah. Because so. I wanted to do it before, but I was still confused, still hallucinating. And in my vision, I couldn't look at screens. Like, my vision would jump around. So I was still trying to, Liz was just teasing me the other day. She was like, "Yo, you were like trying to like follow up on emails, but your emails look like gobbledygook." Like, so you like try to like type to people because my shit was all fucked up. You know what I mean? But I knew once.
I think I have some of your messages from that. Like, when you first got back online and it was like, you know, you would send me an inbox or something like that, and I kind of would have to like dissect it to
like figure out
exactly
what the fuck is he talking about. I was out of it.
Yeah.
I was like, I was really out of it. And, but I knew once my shit like snapped back, I knew I was going to make music. You know, I knew that like we were going to do our stuff. And it was like, all right, you know, it was like a harrowing event.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's life sometimes.
Absolutely.
You go through some shit, you come out of it.
Absolutely. Did you listen to anything new this week?
I did, but I took it off. I figured we're about it at an hour now.
Okay.
So I figured we could talk about Smoke Dizza. And this thing doesn't come out, I think, until next week anyway.
Okay.
So we can talk about it next week. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The Smoke Dizza project, hold on.
A closed mouth don't get fed.
Yeah. I was trying to go off memory there. A closed mouth don't get fed. Really dope, yo.
Yeah, yeah. He's always got hot shit.
It's 10 songs.
word.
Appreciate
that. Just like you like.
Yeah. It's got features, West Side Gunn. Dave East, that song is crazy.
Dave East, yo, whose album was he on? He was just on somebody's shit, killing it. Really? Like, God damn, yeah.
Features your man, Wale.
My favorite rapper, Wale. Shout out to Wale.
It's got Flip De Niro on there. I think we did a project of his on this podcast before. We covered a project.
Probably, yeah.
That joint's really dope. The only thing I don't like is that Tidal doesn't have the producer's credits listed.
That's so weird. Y'all
so like, I would have to
that.
Like go dig, but like the beats are super dope on here, so,
right? And you want
to
know,
yeah. So I was like, I was trying to look up who it was, and all it has is like the writer credit,
right?
So it didn't have producer credits on there.
Tidal, hire us as like creative directors or something. Y'all gotta tighten y'all shit up.
Yeah, definitely. I was like, damn, I want to know. And I was like, oh, I could like look it up, but like I was like kind of busy and doing a bunch of different stuff while I'm listening right. to it. I was like, but I'm not doing all that.
That's Tidal's job to have that information for you as. Exactly. Consumer.
But it's a really dope project. There's a couple joints that like there's a couple joints that I can see getting burned on like mix shows in New York.
Mm-hmm.
But they ain't gonna get no burn here
in
Philly because like that's just not the wave anymore. Like
right.
But he has some joints that are like kind of even smoothed out sounding joints that like, oh, they'll probably get some burn up in like NY. They'll never get burned down here. Not even like mix show stuff.
Yeah, it's different culture.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And like, you know, there's a lot of like local dudes that get like play on those mix shows that are, you know. But it's a really good record. I definitely think you should check it out. Beats are like really lush, like the joint that Westside is on sounds like a Derringer type joint. That's why I was like, oh, I wonder if Derringer did this beat. Fucking can't tell. I can't get the names up. So it's a dope record. Like it really sounds fitting. The Dave East joint is crazy. The Wale joint's even dope. There's a really good Flip De Niro joint's real dope. There's a bunch of records on there that are like really, really good. Smoke brings it lyrically as always. Couple joints are only like 2 minutes and 30 seconds on there too.
Get it, get out.
Yeah, man. One verse joints. Like, I love that. That's my shit. But yeah, it's a dope project. I definitely say check it out.
I'm a fuck with it. I'm thinking of like shit to bump over the weekend. I just got Prem Rock and Curly Castro. They got a group called Shrapnel.
Yeah.
And they just set that joint over. That shit is hard body. Yeah. I'm going to probably talk about it when it's ready to come out. I think they sent me like an early version.
Okay.
But yeah, that shit is hard. So I'm trying to think of like rap shit I want to bump over the weekend.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm going to throw in that Smoke Dizza shit too.
Yeah, that Smoke Dizza joint go. Word. I definitely say that. But other than that, you know, catch us on all the social medias.
Boom.
At Serious Rap Shit. Go rate and review us. If you're listening to this on the Apple Podcast app, all you got to do is you can rate and review us right in there. Just go tap the 5 stars because you know that's what you're going to give us.
Come on.
And say, hey, listen, this is the greatest podcast in the land and you need to listen to it. Like simple reviews, baby. You ain't got to do nothing special.
If you don't fuck with this podcast, you're a 4chan incel.
Yes.
You know, you pay black dudes to come over and slay your wife while you cry in the corner. Yeah, you're fucking cuck. You're beta cuck.
Yeah.
If you don't like this fucking podcast, you don't want to rate and review us, you're a sucker. Josh and I probably stuffed you in a locker at some point. I'm going to edit all that out because I don't like being a heel. But, you know, we got some dope shit coming up. We got a guest for...
That's next week's episode is going to be a guest episode.
Now.
Oh, okay.
This is, well, yeah. After they listen to this, I got a little confused. The next episode is going to be a guest, real dope writer, musician, Jordana Elizabeth is going to join us. So, yeah, we got some fly shit on deck.
Don't forget, check out Incense Trap and Yoga. Go grab yourself a Abolish ICE hoodie and t-shirt.
Boom.
Part of the proceeds do go to helping with legal aid for undocumented people separated at the border.
Let's go.
Check out the other shit. Incense Trap and Yoga has a lot of dope shit. Just make sure you grab the Abolish ICE stuff first.
Spend your money on that. And then look around.
But she also dropped a new shirt this week.
The Rest Resist.
Rise Resist again or something like that.
Yeah.
So there's some dope stuff on there. Get us at, you know, we'll have the website going to be popping soon.
We
were
good on the website.
But other than that, yo, fuck with us on the social medias and let us know what you think, man. We love hearing back from listeners. Throw out some ideas to us. We're not going to listen to you. You
know, we're going to listen. We appreciate y'all.
But no, we appreciate y'all listening. Love y'all. And we'll see y'all next week.
Peace.
Serious Rap Shit is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, check out the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get podcasts.
What do explorers, a former newspaper editor, and a Minnesota insurance salesman have in common? They all wanted to be the first to reach the North Pole. I'm Kat Long, science editor at Mental Floss, and the host of The Quest for the North Pole, a new podcast launching January 15th about our insatiable desire to explore the mysteries of the Arctic and stand at the top of the world. iHeartRadio is number one for podcasts, but don't take our word for it. Listen to The Quest for the North Pole every Friday on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, lovelies. This is Arden Marine, and you may know me from Chelsea Lately or as Regina Sinclair on Insatiable. I want to tell you about my podcast, Will You Accept This Rose, where we recap all the seasons of The Bachelor franchise, and we are very excited to talk about the new season of The Bachelor with Matt James. We chat about it with celebrity guests, including Lance Bass, Doug Benson, and Lacey Mosley. Catch our episodes every Wednesday and listen to Will You Accept This Rose on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Join us on this love journey.